This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, Ryan Cozy joining you every week as your host. Great week last week as we discussed, church planting across racial divides, across inner city and suburban differences, and how God is shaping what I think to be probably one of the greatest periods of time, I think, in missional growth and church planting growth and repurposing of the church. As far as racial reconciliation in our country's history, I mean, it's almost had to reach this kind of unique fervor in the social secular world for us to kind of go, wait, we got to do something. We've got to start looking different. And it hasn't been overnight. This is something that's been in the works for a long time, Ryan, as I think we're going to talk a little bit more about today. But last week, a great conversation. Shep and Jim Murphy joining us in studio. They're like becoming Christ Together regulars. Technically, this is like your fourth episode.
I've got a tattoo.
The fifth one, you get a gold watch. So stick around.
Five-timers club.
Yeah, five-timers. That's right.
SNL, remember that?
Yes, right. And we've derailed within 2 minutes. Sorry. But anyway, we're excited about this week. Derek and Derek Parks and Charlie Mitchell joining us also from Epiphany Network. They were with us last week. They'll be joining us again this week from the 95 corridor.
Yeah.
I just love that term.
It
makes me sound like I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Well, you can't forget Mace on the board, too.
Mace is on the board. And Mace is actually a former Philly guy for a few years anyway. And he and I joust about the Eagles and Bills.
Yes.
And he has more to brag about than I do.
Hey, I could bring the Browns into this conversation and it could stop everything.
Everybody feels better. You talk about coming in low. That's definitely coming in low.
I'm a Browns fan. I don't know how much lower you can come in.
That's right. We're going to continue the conversation today. One of the things that I think, Ryan, you wanted to talk about today was just how much we can learn from guys like Derek and Charlie and an Epiphany Network, and how they've been able some of their successes in Camden and Wilmington, Delaware. By the way, you don't have to feel bad about coming from Delaware. I noticed it's been mentioned a few times that it's the smallest state, but it's the first state.
Yes, it's the first one.
I know. I have some really close friends from Delaware, and every time I mention, like, what is Delaware? Is that even like a thing?
And oh, it's real.
Like, we're the first state. There's a lot of pride in that. So anyway, we're going to try to learn a lot today from Derek and Charlie and from everybody involved. I know last week, if you are just tuning us in today and you didn't catch last week, you can go to WDCXradio.com, click on programs and scroll down to Christ Together Radio. You can get all the old programs on there. But last week's was really, I thought, a great program. I learned a lot just sitting back and listening. And so I'm looking forward to much more of the same today, right, Ryan?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. Derek and Charlie are friends of ours within the chapel and within connections to the Church of Western New York. And what I've learned from that network already has been huge, but I really see them as a strategic part of our future in the saturation of the gospel here in Western New York and in cities like it, including Baltimore, including Wilmington. I'm happy to be partnered with them.
Yeah, it's great. What's cool is that with this platform and with this show, we're able to bring kind of the back scenes look as to what God is doing and bringing people together, leaders together, Christian leaders together from different cultures and different contexts. And to me, it's leading by example in the greatest way. And this is something we should be promoting, touting. And not necessarily bragging on Jesus, because I think Jim said it. He's the expert in the room, and we're all just trying to do what he's called us to do. Yeah. So stay with us. You're not going to want to miss this on Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Ryan Cozy and Brett Larson joining you today alongside our guest in studio, Jim Murphy and Shep, and also on the line we have Charlie Mitchell and Derek Parks joining us from the Epiphany Network in Camden and Wilmington and Philly and kind of that whole area there. And talking today about just continuing on mission to see every man, woman, and child have repeated opportunities to see and both see and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as that happens across urban, suburban contexts and how we can come together across, you know, I hate to use this word because it sounds negative, but across racial divides, which really are still there, and how we can kind of lead the church in that way. And Ryan, I know you guys have been working with at the chapel and you personally have been working with Epiphany and with Derek and Charlie for a little while now. And there's kind of we're kind of picking up midstream in that process.
Right.
But with any of these relationships that we're inviting into here and that we're discussing kind of these urban contexts, there's a lot of front end work that went into this. And there was a lot of slow movement, I would imagine. It couldn't have just, it's not like you met them and said, hey, let's work together. Oh, that's cool. I mean, were there some real issues and pain points, we call them, to overcome?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that there were a lot of pain points. I think what would probably be best stated is it's funny how God has been at work for a while in revealing to me this whole other network of brothers in the kingdom that are preaching a good word, that are efforting to mobilize disciples daily, but they just don't have my same skin color.
Yeah,
you know, and so my first interaction. If I went way back, I used to be heavily involved in an organization, a mission organization called Great Commission Ministries, which is now Reliant Ministries. And we help church planters raise funds to plant churches. And we used to be heavily involved in a network of churches called Acts 29. And a couple years ago, I heard this probably about, man, this might be 12 years ago, I heard a guy by the name of Eric Mason preach in Seattle for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, I don't know this guy, but I feel like this guy is, I mean, this is crazy what he's saying. And as a, you know, theologically, I'm more reformed in my theology. And so, you know, seeing an African-American brother preaching from that point of view in a network, I was just blown away. And over time, I began to listen more and more to his messages and his sermons. And because a lot of it, like he was, to be honest, Eric has had the responsibility to navigate kind of white church culture and black church culture. Mm-hmm. He's fluent in it. And so he can step into white church culture and he can preach an unbelievable word, but he can help people understand there's another church culture that believes in the same Jesus that you do, that loves the same Jesus you do, and they want to see every man, woman, and child reach like you do. And so God he opened my eyes to the work of Dr. Eric Mason, and I just began to follow and to listen. And just being someone who's from a more urban environment, my heart, when my family left the city of Cleveland, like when we were no longer in an urban pocket of Cleveland, I did not have the gospel in me. And so I just looked at my neighborhood that was falling apart and thought, man, good riddance, you know. And yet, as the gospel got in me, it began to raise an awareness in me of, hey, when we're talking about every man, woman, and child, we're talking about all pockets of all cities and metropolitan areas. And so that includes suburban areas. And yes, it includes rural areas, but it also includes urban areas. Mm-hmm. And so around that time, maybe around 4 or 5 years ago, I became more familiar with what Epiphany was doing. And that was through a partnership of a church plant that we've been connected to in Harlem. And that's how I got to know Charlie and Derek and Recab and Watson Jones and Brandon, who's planting in New York City. And I also got connected with Jordan Rice, who's with in Harlem, but he's also with the Orchard Group. But he had connections to Epiphany as well relationally. And I just started thinking, man, they're doing some good work. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they would be able to help us in Western New York in planting churches in urban Buffalo. And what happened was I met with Dougie Logan. I'd known Eric for a little while. We had a sit-down meeting with him and our pastor. But I remember meeting with Dougie, and Doug said, hey, the reality is we like Buffalo. We're excited about Buffalo. But if you want to do us a solid, we got three guys right now mm-hmm. that could plant churches. And their cities are not Buffalo. but they're a lot like Buffalo. And two of those three cities, was one was Wilmington and the other was Baltimore. And I really felt like that conversation was an answer to prayer, that there was a network that was raising up young leaders who were handling God's word exceptionally, desiring to mobilize disciples and do it in cities like Buffalo and do it in contexts that were more urban. And I felt like this is a great relationship for us to have. And that's kind of the on-ramp for us with Derek and with Charlie.
That's a lot of names and stories, but really cool how it all worked together. And, you know, how God, I think it goes back to you saying at the beginning that God orchestrated this.
Yeah, he did. And for those that are listening, right, you know, I mean, we've got a show here and we got everyday people driving around.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay, I don't know half of those names. But one of the things I want you to know about is Epiphany as a network of churches. And, you know, bringing Charlie and bringing Derek into the mix conversationally. Guys, for people that are listening today, and they might have a heart to see churches planted in urban areas that are a lot of times forgotten. Derek, you talked about that last week, that Wilmington, you know, it's not just a place for those people. Those are the people that God's entrusted you to lead, that he's called you to. There's a lot of people here that don't know much about Epiphany listening on the air. Can you guys help us to understand what is Epiphany and what are the strengths that Epiphany brings in helping guys like you plant churches where you're doing it?
Derek, you go ahead, man. Yeah, well, I'm sort of a fish in water in terms of Epiphany because my majority of my ministry experience has been in and around Epiphany, so it's kind of difficult to talk about something that you're definitely like just immersed in. But I think some of the strengths of our network would definitely be our commitment to engagement and cultural engagement in inner cities. So primarily when you think about the inner city and churches that have been connected to it, I mean, you tend to find sort of a disconnect of two things. Either you find a disconnect of churches that were a part of the city prior to the city beginning to, you know, hit on hard times, that sort of upped and left the city. They were, you know, financially stable enough to where they could pick up and, you know, move their church to a place out in the suburbs and not have to deal with the ills that were facing the inner city. And then you had the other aspect, which looks like churches that didn't have enough money to escape the ills in the culture of the inner city, but you know, the folks there didn't want to stay there. They wanted to get as far away as they could, those that were able, from the inner city. So you've constantly had, you know, what you refer to as sort of parachuting, or, you know, like a helicopter ministry type of philosophy, where people were sort of flying over, dropping in goods, or just parachuting, you know, to do some things but then leave out. But one of the things that Epiphany, we try to emphasize is engagement in the city. So we want to be, our slogan in Epiphany Wilmington is, we want to be on the block, in the middle of it, showing off the glory of Christ. So we want to be right smack dab in the middle of what's going on. So, I mean, give you an example. My first week in Wilmington, living here. So we moved back in September now, so we've been here about 4 months. So our first week moving in, day two, there was a big fight on our street. About 30 people just in a huge brawl, just fighting. And I ran out there to try to help, you know, break up the fight. And then about 4 or 5 days later, a young African-American lady just walking home from her job at midnight was shot and killed two blocks up from where I live. So I could stand on my porch and look out and see where this young lady had been murdered. But for us, we want to have, and we talked about, you know, having skin in the game. We want to have skin in the game missiologically. We want to be able to engage in the city and be a part of what's going on in these inner cities. So we want it to be said of us that we have engaged the city, not from an outside looking in perspective, but from an inside out perspective. So we want to, and we try to equip believers and equip the folks in our churches to do the same. So we want people moving into the neighborhood. We want people coming in to try to engage and just have folks over their house. I mean, cook some chicken and, you know, let people come in the backyard and begin to talk with them, talk to them about life. But then, you know, at a certain point, we open up the scripture. Yeah. At a certain point, we begin to talk about how God and how Jesus is the influence in our lives, because they begin to see us walking down the street. You know, they see me coming to the house every day. I'll give you a quick example, and I'll be quiet. When I first moved here, you know, I was telling people, were asking me what I did, and I told them I was a pastor, and, you know, my next-door neighbor, she was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, after a few weeks of her seeing me come in the house, interacting with my wife and with my kids, she asked me, you really a pastor? And I said, yeah, I'm really a pastor. Okay. So then, you know, a few more weeks went by, and then, you know, I saw her again, and she said, you're really a pastor. And I said, yeah, I'm really a pastor.
Yeah.
Can we talk? And I said, sure, absolutely, we can talk. Mm. So, you know, we want to have that impact, and that's sort of the emphasis of Epiphany. We do that when we try to, you know, be culturally relevant. We want to be in tune to what the culture is saying, primarily those that have been influenced by, you know, hip-hop culture. And that's sort of seems to be a lot of people now, because, I mean, hip-hop has become, I mean, worldwide. Mm-hmm. I mean, anytime you see stuff in African countries and abroad, you know, having influence in shaping marketing and those type of things, you know, so that's a little bit about some of our distinction in terms of being on the block. Our pastor Doug Logan, he just wrote a book called On the Block, and it's his treatise on his strategies of missional engagement in the inner city. Yeah. And that's just what we want to do and we want to be.
Yeah. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. This is Ryan Cozy along with Brett Larson. We're talking today about gospel saturation, talking about church planting, specifically urban church planting. And we're excited to have this conversation. You're hearing right now from Derek Parks, a pastor of Epiphany Church, Wilmington, Wilmington, Delaware. Derek, if folks were wanting to get connected with Epiphany Church in Wilmington, how would they know more about what you're doing and how to get connected to you?
Yeah, we're on all social media streams. You can find us at Epiph Wilmington, and then you could go on our website at epiphanywilmington.org. So we're on all social media, and we've got our website up and running. So, yeah.
Okay, great. Charlie, we got a couple of minutes before we head into our first break, our second break for the show. Would you take just a couple of minutes to share with the audience a little bit more about what Epiphany has done for you, helping you in planting in Baltimore?
Yeah, they're biased in their love and affinity for the inner city. And so even more distinct than just the broad urban term, which could mean cosmopolitan, which could mean the areas of our cities that are being gentrified and invested in, they have a bias towards the inner city in training men to be fully equipped to deal with the complexities of doing ministry in the inner city. And so, you know, for me, I was able to do a residency, be trained with Dr. Eric Mason and under Pastor Doug Logan in the inner city. I moved to Camden, lived on the block in Camden, did life there for 2 years before I was sent out. And so that's a distinction that we have. And it's not just about black people per se, because we planted two white men as planters in our movement. And so you got Pastor Tommy in L.A., and you got Pastor A.J. Smith over at Renovation with Watson Jones. And so it's a movement, you know, in the sense that, you know, we're focused on the inner city, and we want to train guys to go into the inner city and do long-lasting ministry, not just do 2-3 years and burn out, but we wanted you to be there until God calls you home. And that's my calling. And Epiphany definitely focused its efforts in helping me to think through that primarily, rather than just ministry broadly. Hmm.
That's
good.
It's phenomenal. I love this show, Ryan. I do. I think it's probably going to go down as one of my favorites, these two episodes. Just because of the players involved, you know, mm-hmm. there's just so many great people involved, and Shep, I love watching Shep over there. As every time he agrees, it's obvious.
Yeah,
like he lets you know. I love it.
Jim looks less scared right now.
Yeah, Jim's chilling. No, you're listening to Christ Together Radio. We're talking church planning. So well stated, inner city.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with the inner city, and how can we come alongside? How can we help? How can we work together to revitalize our cities for the sake of the gospel?
Yeah.
And it's a conversation worth having every day of the week. Yeah. And we're having it here on Christ Together Radio, and we want to continue having it, and we want you to continue listening. So join us right after this.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard, or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Great conversation today, talking about carrying out Christ's mission, Christ's commandment to take the gospel to all people, and how that relays into the inner city context. And notice I'm saying inner city, not urban, because that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
there is a difference, and there's different there's different segments that are kind of meeting together, and we want to cover this in this next the little segment we have here. So stay tuned as Ryan and the guys discuss how inner city is important to differentiate from urban.
Yeah. And that's a great thing to pick up on for this next segment. Charlie, as we were talking, we talk about the breaks having a lot of quality conversation, and this is one of those things that set up this segment. You know, one of the things that can be a misunderstanding for folks not involved in city-related ministry is just to throw everybody into one bucket and go, well, that's the city. And, you know, you go serve those people. And the reality is you do a disservice to the complexity of the city as a whole.
That's right.
And so in this last segment, Charlie, you were talking about just how there's almost like this dichotomy, if you will, between cosmopolitan city ministry and then inner city ministry. And I'm wondering, can you kind of help explain that? Because that is a very real situation that we're running into here in the city of Buffalo.
Yeah, so we most times when people talk about the city, especially in a positive light, it's because we're talking about a more cosmopolitan reinvestment of what's going on in the city. And so, you know, many of us may be familiar with what happened in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with white flight, where a lot of the suburbs were established. But now we're having this influx into the city. Now they're becoming more of cultural hubs, and a lot of investment is happening in downtown areas where now we're things that were old and abandoned, they're now lost, you know, and cool and very spacious and nice for $50,000 a week, you know. And so we have those areas in our city, but what we're primarily focused on and planting in is the inner city, which is where the poverty, the blight, the violence, and a lot of those things are customary to our neighborhoods within the city. So a lot of people avoid the city, and those are the places we seek to call home.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have now, but these two worlds are coming together because neighborhoods that were formerly inner cities where nobody wanted to invest are now being invested in, and people are being displaced. For example, in Baltimore, Johns Hopkins has bought up whole neighborhoods and has demolished whole blocks of homes that were people's homes at one time. And so now those people who were formerly poor inner city dwellers are being pushed out to the outsides of the city and to the edges of the city as the core of the city or the cosmopolitan areas are being developed. So now more restaurants and more cultural centers, art galleries and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But those worlds are coming together in new and unique ways that create a complex area to do ministry.
Yeah. And you're saying that Epiphany as a network, you're dialed into those challenges And as you're raising up leaders and you're finding guys that want to go with you, you're helping to create an awareness and an understanding for them. Like, look, you got to pay attention to this as you go doing the work of the ministry that you've been called to.
Is that, you can't. So Brian Lawrence has a great book called Right Color, Wrong Culture.
Yeah.
And he talks about these three groups of people. One person who's fully assimilated into a different culture, someone like an Eminem who's white but fully assimilated into African-American hip-hop culture.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have someone like an Ice Cube. No matter what movie he plays, he's always a hardened kind of African-American, thoroughly African-American guy. Mm-hmm. But then you have a person like Denzel Washington or Will Smith,
mm-hmm.
who can play a variety of roles and know different contexts and cultures, but remain themselves.
Right.
And so for us, we want those kinds of, we're trying to train men and women to be those guys who are in the middle, who know various cultures and contexts, various languages within the city, not necessarily spoken or ethnic languages, but just understand the different subcultures within the city so that we can navigate, because all of these worlds are meeting in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And where we're doing ministry. And so we have young hipsters, you know, that are moving to the city that are artists,
mm-hmm.
but you may have a third generation, someone who's been in poverty in inner city life, whose grandmother raised him, who dropped out of high school. So that statistic picture, as well as a middle class family that's coming to the city to do a residency mm-hmm. at a college in your area.
Yeah.
So all of those are in one church or in one area, you know, maybe three or four blocks, and you have to be able to meet the needs, reach, share the gospel with those three different worldviews and experiences in a matter of 5 minutes or 20 minutes sitting at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of complexity we have in the inner city and just the cosmopolitan areas.
Yeah, it's you know, this is a situation we're dealing with here in Western New York, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Derek, just curious, is this something that you're seeing within inner city Wilmington as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when in Wilmington, there was several years ago, there was a redevelopment of the riverfront. And in that redevelopment, you had a corporation come in that sort of rebuild the riverfront. But what happened was that displaced the families that were in and around the waterfront. So people were getting pushed out of those neighborhoods to, you know, build lofts and build you know, housing for, you know, now urban professionals that are moving into the city. So, and I mean, that just brings a, you know, a more interesting piece of the conversation. If we're going to have real reach and real impact for every man, woman, and child with one another, we've got to understand the complexities of that. Like, America acts surprised at the conditions of the inner city.
Right.
Like, we created that.
Yeah.
You know, we did, those things were done purposefully.
Mm-hmm.
And people got pushed out and, you know, displaced. And, you know, I mean, Wilmington had influence just like most cities along the I-95 corridor when it was built in the 60s that just divided the city.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the death of Dr. King in 68, you know, the riots that ensued after that, and, you know, most of those inner cities never recovered.
Yeah.
You know, so we see that here in Wilmington as well. I mean, it's common of the inner city. So.
Yeah. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. This is Ryan Cozy with Brett Larson in studio. We got Jim Murphy from Restoration Church, Andre Clark from New Direction Christian Fellowship here in the city of Buffalo. And we've also got on the phone with us today two folks who are planting some churches out of the Epiphany Network in Camden, New Jersey, and Philadelphia. That would be Charlie Mitchell, who's planting a church in Baltimore, Epiphany Baltimore, and Derek Parks, who's planting a church in Wilmington, Epiphany Wilmington. You know, guys, as you're talking, you know, it's just the irony of this, and it's not an irony, and I think, Derek, you hit on it. You know, we act surprised as these things happen. You know, Charlie, you were sharing about Johns Hopkins, and just buying up whole neighborhoods. And I feel like we could take that same conversation, and instead of it being Johns Hopkins, we could insert the University of Buffalo. And, you know, Andre, I know you're chomping at the bit here, brother, so I want to give you some air to give some perspective on, I mean, a lot of head nodding. I honestly feel like one of my the most exciting thing for me today was I wanted you to get connected to Derek and Charlie, and I hope that that's a relationship that can grow and flourish. But I know you got a lot of thoughts going on. So what are you thinking?
See, when we start talking about ministering to people, it's totally different from every perspective. Right now, I have people that's members of my church that are in the Fruit Belt, and they've been there 20, 30, 40 years. Now, because of that corridor that has brought billions of dollars into that neighborhood, the value of the houses have gone up. The rent is going up. Now, watch this. They're celebrating the fact that there's 18,000 jobs. Well, there's only really 3,000 new jobs, of which 2,500 of those are actually being able to you have to have a degree. So there's only 500 jobs that's available. So now if you start talking about education, if you start talking about young men that were on the streets in the urban community that got a felony or a problem that may not be able to get a job. And it's not just if I talk to my Spanish brothers on the west side who are still people looking for jobs, then they have no the language barrier. So there's only 500 jobs, but who's going to get those 500 jobs? And even if I get one of those jobs, guess what happens? cannot afford to pay for the rent that I used to be able to afford in the same neighborhood.
Yeah,
the rent just went up because now it's no. I don't want to go into that, but if we don't understand that this is something that in the inner city pulpit, we can't ignore because our churches look for the preacher to have the answers to all things. We're supposed to be the mechanic, the roofer. You know, we just can't, you know, smile on Sunday and wave off the stage and don't say nothing else the rest of the week. They're looking for answers. And a lot of people right there in the Fruit Belt, they're getting moved out or they cannot even afford. Or what just happened in our last foreclosure auction is a lot of people came and bought up all the property they could because they know what's happening.
Right. Yeah.
And so we're being moved out. And then how do you minister to hurting people? And it seems like it's almost a reoccurring thing. So it goes back to a whole lot of different things.
No, it's true. And I actually had a couple weeks ago, a good friend of ours, inner city partner said, you know, the irony of, you know, 35 years ago, your grandparents moving out of town, out of Buffalo, and now the grandson or the granddaughter goes, you know what? I want to live on the east side now. I want to live in Grandma and Grandpa's old neighborhood. Well, you know, like there's the capacity for them to do that is there because the housing prices are available. But I mean, this is a, you know, the case study of this a number of years ago was Brooklyn. You know, Brooklyn itself as a borough, I believe, is in the top five cities of America if you take it out of the five boroughs as a whole. And, you know, if you had a death wish 40 years ago, you went to Red Hook. Or if you needed to get a fix for a drug, you went to Red Hook. Now, you know, you had some crazy skinny jeans folks moved in and they were able to gentrify the area. No offense to skinny jeans folks. I look awful in them. But the reality was that this is a very real conversation because you have this development, you have this growth happening, and you have these people championing it. And yet the voice, it's almost like the volume of the voice of the people that can't afford to be a part of that renaissance anymore. It's like the volume goes down on it.
But the beautiful thing is, very quickly, the beautiful thing is the millennials now don't have the race issue.
Yeah.
That their fathers and grandfathers, they don't have a problem with living in the inner city with a neighbor that's African American or Hispanic. Yeah. You know, look at the West Side right now. It's a cluster. It's a cluster. It's a hotbed. It's the boiling pot of every type of ethnicity. And so I really believe that there is now the chance for us to have the good conversation to sit down and talk while the iron is hot. You don't let it get cold, but while the iron is hot, do it now.
Yeah, Shep, you said something there that I think we could do an entire show on, and that's the generational change in racial lens among our young people. Because I do feel that. I even see that in my own kids, that race is just not a thing. And, you know, they don't see any difference, because we've whether by accident or not, we've become more and more integrated with each other. And there is a different feeling with the next generation. That's encouraged. That's actually an encouraging point. Jim, you had something.
But, you know, I think at the same time, while I believe that's true, I also think there are deeper lines of division occurring. Where in a postmodern society where truth is relative, we coagulate into the truth that we identify with.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But I'm not willing to associate with those who operate in a different truth than
different,
me.
Different lines are forming.
But and I also think, this is a thought, more of a question. I also wonder how deep the lines are between socioeconomic stratuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you get people of different ethnicities coagulating together around a common whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yet when I look at people that are most often forgotten in our culture are these people that are living in poverty. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's true in the urban context. I think it's true in the rural. We don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So we just don't go there. They're not the good places to go plant. They're not where we're going to throw our money.
You guys have opened up a can for an entire new show, so we're going to have to do this again. We have one more segment left. We're going to take a quick break, and we have one more segment left. We're going to talk about the value of walking together in fellowship, and just how that has to come first before we figure out all these solutions. Just how we have to be on the same team and how we have to trust each other. So I want you to stick around. We have about 16, 17, 18 more minutes left in Christ Together Radio today. So stick around. You're not going to want to miss this last segment, because I think it's a great way to wrap up our conversation today. Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brent Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy as we host today, and two of our friends in studio today, Jim Murphy and Andre Clark, a.k.a. Shep, who's with us and been with us a number of times. You're getting to know him now because he's a regular.
It's real talk now.
It's real talk. Yeah, it's a real deal. It's a real deal, and we're just thrilled to have him in studio with us, and also Derek and Charlie from the I-95 corridor, just to sum it all up right there, joining us on the phone and talking about being on mission together across racial divides and in the inner city context, particularly today. And this last segment, we wanted to approach kind of an issue that we need to understand better, and I think that these guys are grasping as they move further and further along in partnership, and that is the value of walking the long road together, not just as friends or as relational partners, but also just as actually ministry partners and being the inner city church plant takes patience, Ryan.
Yeah.
And it's not like there's a formula that you probably, as you know, you're involved in church planting all over the place, and there's kind of this formulaic understanding of church planting, but that all gets blown up in the inner city, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I'll do it this way, because I think this will be a great discussion. So Derek and Charlie, we're gonna support you for 3 years, and at the end of 3 years, you guys should be tight and right, fully ready to go. Your tithing units are established. You're fully sustainable. It was a heck of a partnership. Does that sound good to you guys?
No.
So unpack it for us, guys. We got a lot of listeners that may not know much about this. This is a great opportunity for you to educate them. Derek, why don't you start? Help us to understand the duration of partnership narrative, especially when suburban churches or suburban people may want to invest in the work of the ministry that you're doing, and then we'll kick it over to Charlie as well.
Yeah, sure. So I'm planting a church in a city where 71% of African-American families live below the poverty line. And about 60% of those households are female-headed households. So, I mean, there aren't any jobs in Wilmington, which is part of the issue of the economic decline to begin with. I mean, so we're ministering to a group of people who are hurting,
who are struggling financially. So at the onset of our ministry, we've got to start out being able to provide benevolence funds, mercy ministry type funds to families that are in need. And, you know, we often laugh a lot of times because it says as we grow, you know, we get more problems. So, you know, big and small, so more money, more problems. But we got more people, more problems.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we get up to 200 people, we got 180 people that are on welfare.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's difficult. It's very difficult for us to say this is the benchmark.
Yeah.
You know, at 3 years, we're going to be able to be financially stable, to support ourselves as a church, and to be able to pay the bills and to do what we are called to do as a church, and which we get our, you know, tax breaks and all that stuff for, which is being able to help folks that are in need.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult for us to ascertain when, you know, or determine when that's going to happen. We just know that the reality of that happening within three years is very, very, very unlikely.
Yeah.
Because we're dealing with families that live below the poverty line as the norm. Like 71% is the norm.
Yeah.
Like that's not an outlier. It's the norm.
Yeah.
For families that are in, you know, in the inner city where we're ministering to, and you've got median households with the median household income is just around $30,000.
Yeah.
Nobody can do that.
Yeah. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. This is Ryan Cozy with Brett Larson. We're talking with, at this moment, we're talking with Derek Parks, who's planting a church in Wilmington, Delaware, Epiphany, Wilmington. Gang, he shared some statistics with you, and I'm a numbers guy. So for those of you that are listening, earlier in a prior show, Derek mentioned that the population of Wilmington is roughly 70,000 folks. He also said that roughly 60% of Wilmington is African American. That means that there's 42,000 African Americans living in the city of Wilmington, Delaware. And he also mentioned that just over 70% of the population of folks, of the African American folks in the city, is living at or below the poverty line, which means that 30,000 of those 42,000 people are living at or below the poverty line. And this is where it gets very real when we talk in terms of vision casting every man, woman, and child. That is a reality that a planter is taking responsibility, saying, I want to take responsibility for this geography, and this is my present geography. So that's got to help shape investors and partners' understanding as to what this looks like. And Jim, I know this is something you're really passionate about here, even in Western New York, but you want to add some things.
Yeah, I think the narrative needs to change.
Okay.
You know, and I have a little bit of a unique perspective because I planted a church in the inner city of Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't to the full degree of a Wilmington or anything like that, but I've been in the situation where you're looking at this community of poverty and all of the hardship that comes with it, and to be in a growing congregation that you're still like, we're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And so so what I think when I say the narrative needs to change, not only do I think the narrative needs to change for how we relate to each other across racial lines with the gospel at the center, but the narrative needs to change on how we re-evangelize and maybe evangelize for the first time these types of neighborhoods and these types of places, because it's going to require long-term investment. It's going to require churches that yes, we all believe mission is messy. But we've got to be willing to step into that mess, and we've got to be willing to live within the tension of, I don't know how to necessarily answer all the fruit belt conversations. I don't know how to look at someone and say, man, I'm sorry your rent has just gone up $1,000 a month and your income has actually dropped, and this is the only home you've ever known. But we've got to be willing to say the gospel demands that we not walk away from this.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I think, can we partner around different measurables apart from nickels, noses, and slick program development, you know, because these are hard grounds we're going into.
Mm-hmm.
These are very hard grounds.
Yeah.
And, I, you know, especially when we're in the Northeast, you know, we live in the most lost region you're the stats guy, but yeah. I believe it's one of the most lost regions in the nation. And America, from my understanding, is the third largest mission field in the world.
Yeah.
And so we're in so we would always talk about in Syracuse that, that man, before we even get to the soil, we've got to dig up about 8 inches of cement that has been laid over the soil before we can even. So that's going to take time. That's going to take energy. And so can we partner around things like, can our missional engagement have its focus on every man, woman, and child? And if we really play this out, then this is going to require long-term perspective built on deepening relationships that are working hard to achieving this decadal work. This is decadal work.
Absolutely.
And I think we always have this, let's see the hot fruit now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put the church planter up that's got 300 people and a full budget and he just built a build. This is not the reality in these contexts.
Right.
And we've got to be okay with a guy that's said, you know what, I've been there 2 years.
Yeah.
I've shared the gospel with 500 people and I've seen 25 come to Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, Derek, I want to come back to you here. Jim, I appreciate your thoughts on that. I think, I mean, there's a lot of amens going on. I think Andre just gave you a love offering of $10.
I mean,
so he's buying lunch now. Derek, I wanted to hit on something. One of the things I wonder sometimes is when does the light actually go on for some of these partners that you're connecting with? Is it the fact that they actually walk the streets with you? Like what ultimately helps some of your kingdom partners understand that the duration of partnership has got to be much longer?
Well, I think it's when they see the long-term impact.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, you know, I've done ministry with through the Epiphany Network for over 10 years now. So I've connected with guys who I started out with when they were in middle school.
Yeah.
And to, now see them, in college doing well. Young guy that I walk with named Kareem, in college doing very well. He grew up in the worst neighborhood in Camden. From my estimation, on the worst street in Camden, New Jersey, on Princess Ave. So, but to be able to tell that story, like, no, I had to be there for Kareem because Dad wasn't there for him, and I had to show up to drop Kareem off at his high school prom, and I had to show up to drive Kareem to his first day of college, and the impact of that has been what's been able to, I guess, sort of persuade or sway some of the our partners to say, I need that much time to be able to walk with a guy like Kareem and the other Kareems that are out there, because ultimately Jim sort of alluded to it, like we were planting a garden, we got to dig up some soil because we're not starting at I'm not starting at zero with guys.
Yeah.
Like I'm starting at negative 30.
Yeah.
So to get to zero, like people they want to talk about, well, what's your discipleship plan and all that stuff like that. But my discipleship plan is to teach him how to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he can't read. And then I can take him through a book.
Yeah.
Once I've established that he's able to read. So those kind of things are the things that, have been able to sort of persuade and sway, supporters, convincing them that this is long, dirty work that we have to do. We've got to get into the trenches and really dig deep, with people. So those kind of things have helped. I think if we really try to look at it, I think that we can try to tell them up front, like, yeah, I'm going to need it. But I think that I would want to know a story or two.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm not upset about it, but.
No, Charlie, I want to give you a chance to pipe in here. I know I heard a few uh-huhs and amens as Derek was talking, but it's got to be just as real for you in Baltimore. Can you enlighten us here? We got about 4 minutes left before we finish up our show for today.
No, yeah, it's the exact same. It's the part we have to, as Jim said, we've got to change the narrative. Most of our emphasis has been in evangelical church planting, in particular, suburban growing areas. or cool upstart areas where we know we can get traction quickly. We've hardly ever focused on hard to reach, not growing areas. That's why rural areas get overlooked. That's why, kind of Iron Belt areas get overlooked. Mm-hmm. Same thing. But we've got to change that narrative to say, man, we need that 5 to 7 year runway. And for me in particular, I'm saying we would all agree that inner cities need high octane, deep levels of investment and commitment. But we expect the inner city pastor to go with less pay, less resources, be bivocational, and all these other things, so that he can give minimal effort to reaching people on the block, just so he could be there.
Yeah.
And so I'm going, nah, let's flip it. The guys, we have friends that are planted 3 or 4 years ago. They're 80 people and fully sustaining.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. If we get to 80 people, that would be great, but it doesn't help us in our sustainability plan. We've just got to change that narrative.
Yeah, no, that's good.
If we really want to see impact in the inner city, there's got to be deep impact in investment, and that means long-term marriage-like relationships.
Yeah. Jim, I know you're like a puppy with the yips over there. Want to say something? Go ahead.
Well, and I think for me, I'll tell you, I had the opportunity to visit Camden and to visit Wilmington. And there's something about going to these places with the gospel open and beginning to look at it and recognize I need to be a student and I need to learn and I need to recognize that I'm talking for me. I've got to invest my life here. And rather than me coming in going, man, I've got the money, I've got I'm a student and I'm overwhelmed by, look at houses, walk streets, visit pastors in these cities and develop dialogue and say, tell me about your ministry. Let's walk your neighborhoods. Tell me about, and then let God begin to break your heart. I'll finish real fast. I'm reading through Revelation in my own devotional time, and I was reading in Revelation 7 where it talks about how the church is around the throne of God being protected from the wrath of God that is coming. And we all know this, where it says that, and a great multitude no one could number from every nation, from all tribes, all peoples, all languages, standing before the throne of the Lamb. This is the redemptive mission that God is on. This is why every man, woman, and child matters. And as I read that, I think to myself, man, not only is that amazing that God's doing that, but now I've got to grapple with the idea that that's the culmination of human history of which I am a part of. And I've got to care about every man, woman, and child because Jesus does.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. That was Jim Murphy. He can preach.
Preach a good word.
Preach a good word. And Jim Murphy joining us in the studio today. He's from Restoration Church and also a part of the Greater Christ Together movement across Western New York and other places that we've learned, as we've learned today with Wilmington and Camden. And just a great show today with Derek Parks, Charlie Mitchell joining us on the telephone. Thank you, guys. Shep joining us in studio and just we're just so thankful for him. He's a great guy. And Ryan, another great program. I love the topic today. As always, you can check us out and check out more programs at WDCXradio.com. Click on Christ Together Radio.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ Together.